And we're very happy to have Mae Davenport joining us here tonight. She's associate professor at the Department of Forest Services, University of Minnesota. She's also the lead investigator in a new study called Building Climate Readiness in Nature-Based Tourism, Tourism-Dependent Coastal Communities. And that, of course, fits our area, Grand Marais, Lutzen, and up and down the shore. Mae, I want to thank you so much for joining us here tonight.
You're welcome.
Now, as I mentioned, tourism is very important to our area, whether it's here in Grand Marais or further up and down the shore, Lake Superior. In fact, in Cook County, I believe it represents about 80% of our economy. You're kind of moving ahead in looking at what climate change might do to that economy. How did you get involved in this study?
Yeah, so I'm a social scientist at the University of Minnesota, and my focus has been on understanding how communities manage natural resources and how communities prepare for changes in our ecosystems, and many of those changes might be related to climate change. And so I pulled together a team of researchers at the University of Minnesota at Carleton College in Northfield, as well as researchers at North Carolina State University, to develop a proposal to think purposefully about climate readiness and how we can better prepare as communities to address some of the changes that we anticipate. And for Northeast Minnesota, and particularly Grand Marais, Lutzen, and Finland, and other communities along the North Shore, who are so dependent on natural resource quality, on natural resources for recreation and tourism, and also for quality of life of residents. We're really interested in having those open conversations with locals about those issues and addressing some of the economic impacts as well.
Well, climate change is something that it is still very unpredictable about just how it might affect any of our areas. Are you using existing data then to base what you think the changes might be to look at and how they would affect?
Exactly. Yeah, we are. So we're looking at historic data. In particular, we're going to look at historic temperatures and then historic precipitation in the form of snow and rainfall, and examine how those changes over time historically have affected recreation, visitation, participation, tourism, as well as expenditures. And so, by looking backward, we can kind of get a sense for what those relationships are. And then depending on different climate scenarios, which you're exactly right, we don't have a good idea of what those future scenarios are. But we can sort of anticipate, if we have this many days of hot weather or this many days of rainfall, what will that do to recreation visitation? What will that do to tourism? And ultimately, what will that do to expenditures? So we think, by looking backwards and then using some scenarios, some different scenarios, best case, worst case, and then in between, what are different scenarios ecologically, and then what will that mean for recreation and tourism?
And you brought together kind of a varied group. You've got some hydrologists. You've got one person who is involved in policy and law, and another in tourism. Is that to get the full picture?
Yeah, definitely. We know that these issues are not just ecological issues. They're not just economic issues. That we really need to think more holistically about communities and governance, and the recreation and sustainability kinds of issues as well, and quality of life. So we brought together a really diverse team of specialists in those different areas so that we can problem solve and really take an applied approach. Above all, this project is very community based. So the experts in the project will really be the local community members, the professionals, the decision makers, and recreation and tourism providers that we talk to about the resources they have and the resources they need to be better prepared for the future.
Is that part of the process then to approach local community leaders, whether they be in government or in tourism or at whatever facet, to get a feel for how they look at these changes?
Absolutely. You know, those are the real experts in terms of the community and its capacity to respond to crisis. You know, certainly all communities have had to make changes and have had to respond. You know, whether they're related to climate change or not doesn't really matter. We can learn a lot about how communities make decisions and how communities have responded and grown and adapted. And from, you know, from that, from examining and looking backward, we can say, you know, well, how, what sorts of resources, assets are there in the community that we can draw upon for the future? And then maybe what are some vulnerabilities or what are some needs that we need to think more clearly about if there are these sorts of changes, if there are either, you know, catastrophic events like windstorms or wildfires, or more gradual kinds of changes to, you know, winter recreation, winter experiences, those things. So, you know, we can talk real openly and have these good conversations with local experts and you know, be prepared, anticipate some of those changes.
We've seen a lot of changes in the type of activities that tourists are being involved in our area over the last 30 years or longer. Is this also part of what you're looking at? Is the evolving tourism, or yeah, would it be more related to how is it going to change as our climate changes?
You know, that's an excellent point. I mean, recreation styles, tourism destinations, what people are looking for on their visits and those experiences does evolve and does change over time. Maybe it has to do with technology. Maybe it has to do with you know, shifts in what young people are looking for in an experience. And so, you know, that's all very important to thinking about the future. What are existing needs? You know, are there unmet needs just based on those changes in recreation preferences or tourism preferences? And what might those be in the future? Thinking about, you know, how our population is aging and what are some unique needs perhaps in terms of meeting and addressing those shifts in demographics. And so, you know, there's so many variables in that. I think that's what, you know, it's going to be a challenging project, but we're really excited to work with folks on the North Shore and to really sort of tackle these problems in an open format and bring all the expertise that we have at the University of Minnesota and our partner universities to have this discussion and provide a science basis for these scenarios and for thinking into the future.
And how will you document what you discover? Or will you come out with a paper at the end, or will it be different information for different folks? Or
yeah, that's a really good question. So we're going to be conducting interviews with key stakeholders in the region and focus groups where we bring people together, and we'll also be delivering some workshops towards the end of the project that are really for reflection and also for sharing what we've learned and the assessments that we do, and so. So much of this will be open, much of our dialogue and our processes will be open to a lot of different stakeholders. But for wider distribution of what we learn, we'll be developing a technical report and then also a series of fact sheets that are sort of snippets of information that we think will be most valuable to local people and to businesses and, you know, recreation managers in the area. We'll also be developing a website where folks can visit the website and download information that we present. We're working with some geo-visualization specialists who are going to do some mapping mapping ecological data as well as social data and other kinds of information so that folks can sort of visualize how the environment might look or how it might change or what, where there are areas of stress, of potential vulnerability, or where are areas spatially that you know, are protected and those kinds of things. And so there'll be a lot of different ways in which people can get involved, from the very least, you know, reading a report to having open discussions at workshops and things that we hold.
Getting back to that term, geo-visualization, that's a big word for me, I got to tell you that. But is one example of that, I'm just trying to think of what that might be, is it? I've heard that, you know, various foresters have predicted that our forests will become more hardwood and less of the more traditional green trees that we're used to seeing. Is that an example of what might change, of what that term means?
Yeah, so geovisualization is really taking geographic data that's spatially, so, you know, maps, geographic data, and visualizing that along different planes. In some cases, it's 3D visualization. So you can view, you know, perhaps a coastal area, for example, in three dimensions and see sort of how the forest stand and structure might change. We can also look at hydrologic systems and get a sense for how stream systems might change, or where there might be flooding, or, you know, what areas might be inundated if there's a flooding, or if there, you know, what areas might be affected if there's a windstorm, for example. But we can also map some spatial, some social data, or some planning data, for example, if we want to look at maps and have different examples of future scenarios of development, of where development might happen, and how that might affect, you know, sensitive areas ecologically and those kinds of things. So it's a really neat way to present data in a form that people can understand and people can manipulate and get real time information back and see how things would look if you build a certain kind of a system in this area, or protect a wetland. How might that affect the rest of the watershed, for example?
This is a very big topic. You've got your hands full.
We do, but we're so excited to get started. We're actually going to be up in the northeast part of the state and talking to folks in Grand Marais, Lutzen, and Finland in particular, in the next few months. So we're really eager to get out there and start these conversations.
Now, how do you decide who you're going to contact and just different fields?
Yeah.
Of
we've got kind of a starting list of folks who've been involved in the project. For example, the Cook County Visitor Bureau has been a supporter of this project. And the Department of Natural Resources and the state parks, for sure. And so we've got some starting points, and what we'll be doing is doing kind of an inventory of folks, you know, who are interested, that want to be involved. We're developing a project advisory team of local people who think this topic is important to them, whether it's important to their work or important to their lifestyles, and we'll be really taking an open approach to inviting people to get involved.
And how far in the future are you looking as far as climate change is involved?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and there's a lot of discussion about, you know, what is the right time period to project forward, and certainly 50 years is something that we've talked about and as an important benchmark for thinking about these scenarios and what you know, real changes that we might be able to be sensitive to in that amount of time. And so, you know, that's something that we continue to think about, certainly, is the timing and the sequencing of these different kinds of scenarios. So,
will the hydrologists be looking at not only inland lakes, but also Lake Superior as far as warming and changes that are happening?
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of really good work already completed and modeling done on potential impacts of climate change to Lake Superior. And so wherever possible, we're going to use, you know, the data and the models that are existing But we certainly will be looking and including both inland lakes and streams within the watershed, and as well as Lake Superior, the coastline. So,
can you create a 3D situation where it's always 75 and sunny at my house?
We won't actually be able to control things.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately.
I'm disappointed. I am so hopeful when I was talking to you. You know, one of my co-hosts here, Dave Tierstig, is the manager of our city park, which, of course, is right on Lake Superior. And I believe that that would be one area that you would be talking to local folks.
Definitely. We would want to sign him up to chat with him about the park and other resources in the area that, what asset they are to the community, and then what concerns people might have about protecting those assets into the future.
Well, you've got a big job ahead of you because, and this is a two-year project, or will it extend beyond that?
You know, it's a two-year project in terms of when we're gathering data, but we'll maintain our website for a couple years beyond that. So there'll still be opportunities for folks to engage with us around this project, even after the life of this this grant that we received.
Okay. We've been speaking with Mae Davenport. She's associate professor at Department of Forest Resources. Am I getting that right, Mae?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. At the University of Minnesota, she is the lead in a study that's going to be happening for the next 2 years up here, mainly focusing on Grand Marais, Lutzen, and Finland. It's called Building Climate Readiness and Nature-Based Tourism-Dependent Coastal Communities. If people here that are listening to this interview or that hear about it wanted to contact you, is that how hard would that be?
It would be easy to do. It would be wonderful if folks would contact me if they have insight or want to be involved directly in the project. They can email me or give me a call. I'm on the web at the University of Minnesota website. I can give you my email address as well, which is M as in May, Davin, D-A-V-E-N, at umn.edu.
That's fairly easy. Is there a website they can go to as well, or will there be, I think you mentioned you'll be developing
one? We'll be developing a website, but I do have a webpage myself with that will have a project description on that webpage real soon, so we'll get that out.
Well, that all sounds great. May, I want to thank you so much for giving us your time tonight.
Thank you. This has been fun.
We look forward to seeing you up here, and maybe you can stop in the studio and have a visit with us.
I will do that, and we can talk about the weather.
That sounds good. And about the weather at my house and how you're going to fix that.